Hi, I'm Desi Arnaz Jr. Welcome to Letting Go with Guy Finley. Guy is the best-selling author of Let Go and Live in the Now, and is the founding director of nonprofit Life of Learning Foundation. And now, here's Guy Finley.
There are so many things that you don't see. If you would only look at life as it is, you would be changed by what you see. But the life that you look at isn't life. It's the life that you imagine. It's the life you've been given by your forefathers, adopted by yourself. A life in which a person pursues endlessly those things that he or she imagines will provide freedom for them, never seeing over and over again that the things that they have pursued bring only the slightest and most temporary kind of pleasure, but nothing permanent, nothing true, nothing real in it. And part of what one could see that would give you the impetus, and that's not a bad word, that would embolden the small right part of you that wills and wishes to find a life that is not part of the madness, the selfishness, and the greed that the world is presently founded on. If you looked, you would see it. And in seeing it, you would understand that right in the things themselves that you see, there are actions that are inherent that you are asked to make as a human being, because you're able to correlate the actual world that you see unfolding around you with the world that's going on within you. You can see the direct relationship between all things. You don't become a knower of fractals. You don't become knowledgeable in terms of scale and levels. Your being itself becomes the house of all of that. And until that happens to a human being, until something begins to change inside of them that gives them a radical different view, not of the world they see, but of themselves as a seer, then nothing can happen. You don't see, for instance, that the sun asks the seed that it warms to choose what it wants. You don't see that. It's not part of your life. It's not part of your heart. It doesn't pass into your mind. You don't see that the seed, as it's there in the ground, either above or beneath it, because it's fallen there, has to have and make a choice. Now, we understand that there's no little seed mind, the way we think of a mind, saying, you know, is this a good day to stick my little head out? It doesn't do that, because that seed is part of a greater scale of nature. And that seed, whether it was going to open and give itself to a life greater than itself, that was all determined when the seed fell. Because the sun remains constant, but the seeds themselves vary, and millions fall, and few rise. The few that rise can't be called good seed in the sense of the word good the way we think of good seed, because we think of good as terms of a choice, when the fact is that we don't choose ourselves the good. And so I want to start this talk with an idea that I think you must examine for yourself, not because the speaker is adamant about it, but because there is a certain urgency in the fact, if you see it clearly enough, that you must choose. You must choose. And to not choose, to think to yourself, as all of you do, that it isn't necessary for me to make choices other than in the most passing fashion. That I choose the good, I choose what is right, I choose what is true and ennobling, and I choose what is virtuous, I choose what is higher, when it suits me to choose that. And that is not a choice. That's a satisfaction. When you see men and women today, and you should be students of all the human beings, both that you do business with, that you walk into restaurants and see sitting there, that you have in your home, that you see interviewed on television, you should be a student of all humanity, so that you can see that what eventually human beings become in their lives after they get past that simple and rather beautiful age of innocence that a child has, because an image hasn't been formed in itself about itself. What you have is individuals who walk around expressing themselves in one of only two fashions. One of only two fashions. And by and large, the greatest expression is the constant sense of negativity. That pervasive, pained look. That drained demeanor. That irritated state that surrounds them like thorns do a flower, where you know not to get too close or you're going to get stung. You look at human beings and you see that they are constantly expressing that. And the other side, and the only other exception to that expression, are those human beings who swagger around because temporarily conditions permit them the act of confidence. That's all you see. Human beings who are negative, or those who are pretending, without knowing they're pretending, to be confident and secure and happy and bright because the conditions in their life have allowed them to feel that way for the moment. But the proof that it's a temporary condition and a lie that is passed on by those people on themselves first is that as soon as the conditions change, goes the confidence. The instant that the ground that they were standing on that allowed them to be noble and bright and cheerful and helpful, the minute that it trembles, right out the door goes all of that towering character they were an expression of, and they sink back into a certain negative state, which was always the ground of themselves apart from the conditions they were able to put together. And I'm saying all of this to you because you take it all far too lightly. You take it all far too lightly. Now, to take it seriously doesn't mean to be that sourpuss that you are when conditions fall apart. That's not what it means to take life seriously. Nor is it taking life seriously to walk around and be someone who's considerably certain that the only way life is will ever be any good is never. Because things have just gone so bad for so long. I mean, look! And so when I say you don't take life seriously enough, you don't understand that the sun and the seed and the choice is always happening. It's never not taking place. It's happening as I'm speaking to you, whether you perceive it or not. There is always a request that life makes. And the human being, unlike the seed, can be conscious of that. And in the consciousness of the fact that life is an expression, and that life is an expressed force in which there are two possibilities for an individual. And the two possibilities are the abnegation, the refusal to understand themselves, to understand their own pain, or to understand their fear and their worry, to understand themselves. And understanding oneself is not something that you do on a Tuesday when the weather is good. Self-understanding is not a luxury. It's a necessity for the soul that wishes to have a real life apart from the passing conditions of this world. But it's not a necessity to you. And that's why I'm taking the time at the top of this talk. It is not a necessity to you. It's a pastime at best. It's what you do when you're not doing your life. And what you call your life isn't your life. And it proves it to you over and over and over again. And over and over and over again you cry because your life didn't come out the way you thought it was supposed to come out. And then instead of understanding that it wasn't your life, you let what is unlife reinvent your life again, and you go back into the same cycle.
Love, the brightest and most powerful force in the universe. Love melts stress and cancels resentment. It gives birth to kindness and is the fuel of success. Love is at the heart of every great relationship and is the true essence of lasting peace. In his new book, Apprentice of the Heart, best-selling author Guy Finley explores lessons in life only love can teach. This breakthrough book contains the tools you need to strengthen and deepen all of your relationships with family, friends, coworkers, and with the present moment itself. Apprentice of the Heart, available now at GuyFinley.com and fine bookstores everywhere. Joseph Polansky of Diamond Fire magazine writes, "The reader is lifted up to a whole new realm, a rarefied region of the soul." To order your copy of Guy Finley's Apprentice of the Heart, visit GuyFinley.com. That's GuyFinley.com. The relationship your heart longs for already exists.
So what I want to accomplish tonight, in the sense of bringing light into and onto something, is I want to look at something with you so that perhaps you can begin to understand what it means to become the actual living expression of what it is that your heart of hearts really wants. And to examine something like that, we have to pull back a little bit. We have to take a few deep breaths, relax, and look at certain ideas. Because when we are the way we are, which is very low, and if you want to know what determines what is low and what is high, what is low spends its time thinking about itself. What is high need not think about itself. When we look at what we do day in and day out, I ask you, what is it all about? What did you do today? And then I'm not talking about what you physically did. What is it that made you get up in the morning, and not the fact that you couldn't help but open your eyes, much that we would prefer not to sometimes. Not that, but what is it that occupied your mind today? And there's 50 people here, and if we went through the room, we would say, each person would say, well, this occupied my business, my friends, my lovers, my relationship, my pain, my fears, whatever. We'd say, this is what occupied my mind. And I would say, if we were willing to do it, that we could reduce all of that to one thing that everyone here was doing all day today. And that is, everybody here was looking for freedom. Everybody here was looking, if we will, for something that they could get their hands on or wrap their mind around, that in the acquisition of it, in the possession of it, in the arriving at that, would bring an end to the sense of fear or worry or whatever it is that drives the individual to do that in the first place. And don't lie. Please don't lie to yourself and say, well, you don't understand, sir. I have a business, or I have a career, or I have an ambition, or I have a house, or whatever it is that one says that they have to attend to. Of course one has to attend to certain things in their life. This is the world. You're in a body. You must take care of things. But you tell me the difference between being consumed by something to the cost of having no awareness whatsoever of yourself and what moves you through those events versus the self that is seeking to escape itself through what it can gain from such things. And these are the pressing questions. Because we mustn't allow ourselves an escape. We must not allow ourselves an escape. You know why people leave this work? Why people all over the world, wherever they may be, who are subjected to the light of true understanding that reveals in them those qualities and characters that are set against themselves, is because when the light touches us, we have to choose. And no one wants to choose. They want to be someone who decides at the right time, in the right way, for themselves what is best. But we look at our lives and say, look at our lives now, which is the outcome of all of those choices. And the outcome of all of those choices as we are now is what? A self that still goes through the day, confident because conditions allow it, crashing when they fall apart, and apart from that, wrapped up in self-concerns that do nothing but pollute the soul and everyone else around us. Because that's what the world... Look at the greed of the world. Look at the greed. Did you know there's no need for greed? No natural need for greed. And you know what makes one greedy? The insatiable fear they have. That is the cause of greed. Insatiable fear. No other cause. And the reason that fear is insatiable, listen please, is because it doesn't exist apart from the images that it creates to protect itself from what it says may take away what it needs. I'm going to read for you one of the key lessons that I wrote in a special writing for tonight's talk. The only reason fear remains as Pharaoh to freedom, keeping it in captivity, is because fear projects what is to be avoided in order to protect and perpetuate the illusion of its existence. Fear fears being found out. And acting on this knowledge is how we release ourselves from its prison of false perception. Real freedom neither projects, protects, nor perpetuates itself. It only waits for the moment of flowering when, in the willing soul, its fragrance is at last liberated from petal, stem, thorn, and roots alike. When the idea of that formulated in my mind and I was able to see the expression of that emotion, I thought, isn't it amazing that we live as human beings in a world in which we are being given endless examples of spiritual truth. Evidence, really, of worlds within worlds, but we don't share in and I use the word in that in the glory of it. We don't share in the extraordinary power of such an insight because our minds are too wrapped around themselves and what they're seeking to protect themselves from their own imagined fears. But I want to take a minute to examine this idea. You know, everyone knows the caterpillar and the butterfly. It's a fascinating and ancient metaphor, isn't it, for rebirth, for spiritual life. Here's a form with a bunch of weird legs and walking around on the ground and subject to anything that's on the ground and wants to eat it. And then one day the thing wraps itself up in this silk, which is also extraordinary. Out of this really bizarre creature comes silk. And then out of this silk comes this caterpillar, which has nothing in common with the creature that it came from. Well, did you ever realize that how different in nature the fragrance of a flower is from the flower that it comes from? The fragrance of a flower belongs to an order of another world. It's not material. It comes from a matter. The fragrance is molecular, liberated, touching anything and permeating whatever it moves onto. It is a completely different nature, and if you can understand it, under far less laws than the petals that gave rise to it, isn't it? We are meant to live under far less laws than this body and this mind have brought us to live under. We have in us a fragrance, if you will, a spirit, a nature of an entirely different order. And the nature that is of an entirely different order, to put it in perspective relative to what we've been talking about, is the nature in us that does not fear. And because it does not fear, it is not driven to fulfill the endless imaginings that fear makes in order to give itself something to do and be. It isn't part of that world. Just like the fragrance of a flower is not bound to the earth the way a flower is, neither is this nature that is not afraid bound to the self in which fear is breeding. But what must one do? This is always the question. What does one do when they glean the idea that within them there exists, and everyone has that if they're not too far gone. If they haven't chosen on the wrong side of the light that touched the seed. Because you understand that once the seed decides not to become what it's intended to become, that seed becomes mulch for the earth, doesn't it? It no longer serves what it was given to be. Now it serves something that will use it for its purposes. Exactly the same thing is true for human beings. Exactly the same thing. To miss that is to miss part of what we need. How many of you realize you need a kick in the you know where? A spiritual kick. You need a spiritual kick, man. But when you get one, you don't want it. Who are you to kick me? I'm not anybody. I'm not even kicking you. I'm just talking. I'm just telling you things that when you hear them, you know are true. And you knowing the truth is what kicks you. How many of you have ever heard the expression, ask and you shall receive? All of our lives, we've been told, first of all, and so sick what we've been told that means. That we must merely imagine what it is that we want, ask for it, and it's ours. That's great. Because do you understand that the way in which darkness works, deception works, is that there's always elements of truth in it. And so it goes that an individual can ask and imagine things that he or she wants, and he or she can get those things that they've imagined. But they don't get the good in it. And that's the key. Such a person, when they imagine the good that they want, get the imaginary good they have said will make them free from the fear that brings up the request in the first place. See, how many of you ever imagined something good for yourself? That's what we do it all the time. That's when I said, what did you do today? What we did today is we imagined what would give us freedom, happiness, contentment, according to whatever we say will be it, wealth, relationship, possession, power. And we go out having imagined these things to get these things in order to give ourselves the good that we thought we would get. But there does come a point in a person's life where they can't take any more good like that. I'll give you a minute to think about it. If this is good, I don't want it. I thought it would be good to be A, B, C, D, E, F, G, whatever it is. And when I became A through Z, suddenly I didn't have the freedom that I thought I would have in it. I wanted the good of it because it promised me freedom. I got what wasn't good, which was not freedom, but that which made me a slave of the good that I was supposed to be freed by. And what is good doesn't make a slave of someone. How can that which makes a man free make him a slave?
You're listening to Letting Go with Guy Finley. For more information about Guy's life-empowering ideas, visit guyfinley.com. We'll be back in a moment.
One reason the wind of good fortune is often found at the back of people who are successful in life is because these individuals are usually found moving ahead of it in anticipation of its arrival. Hi, this is Dr. Ellen Dickstein. The engaging words of best-selling author Guy Finley remind us that real success in life is a relationship between ourselves and a timeless greatness that lives within us. Each week, you can receive a powerful, life-affirming message from Guy, guaranteed to help you succeed with your wish for a new life. Each brief, uplifting insight reminds you that nothing can stop you from knowing the higher happiness your heart longs for. To receive Guy Finley's free weekly key lessons, just visit guyfinley.com. Join the thousands of grateful individuals who are learning how to make themselves and our world a better place. Visit guyfinley.com. That's GUYFINLEY.com.
Welcome back to Letting Go with best-selling author Guy Finley.
So a person has this idea, ask and they'll receive, ask and receive, and all the time giving their life over to what they have imagined is good. And then because of the way in which this nature works, and it's critical that we point it out, when we get that good that we had imagined, and suddenly, rather than lifted by it, liberated by it, which was why we set out for that good in the first place, we find ourselves burdened by it. Then that nature that was deceived, that told us what we must do in order to achieve freedom, it merely reinvents another object that we can pursue, and in that complete the uncompleted freedom we were told we would have at the outset of our journey. And it goes on and it goes on and it goes on. And each time that a person achieves what he or she says is supposed to be what gives them what is good, the freedom, the ability to live without compromising oneself by being negative, by hurting another person, by being impatient, by greedy grabbing. The ability to be free of that, which is never delivered, ever delivered by that which is imagined is good, brings a person to that moment where the sun hits the seed. Because I see clearly that what I have said is the right and good for me is not the right and good for me. I can see that. But in that moment when the light reveals the truth of that, then something must be decided, mustn't it? Isn't there a moment of choice in such an observation? Of course there is. And if we're honest about ourselves, we see that we always choose not the good that we want, but rather we choose the good we don't want, which doesn't serve us, but actually winds up costing us something. And that's another extraordinary thing. Do you know, you can't find anyone on this planet who is addicted to whatever they're addicted to, whether it's power, possession, finance, people, relationships, approval, drugs, alcohol. You can't find a person on this planet who is addicted to one of those things, and all human beings are addicted to at least one of those things, because that's how they define self. By the way, they define self by not wanting that which they were drawn to become addicted to. You can't find an individual like that on this planet who, when he or she set out to get the good in it, thought to themselves, I'm going to wind up being the slave of that good. You can't find someone. Which means at all times there's something acting in a human being that says it knows what good is. And instead of bringing about the freedom, the true freedom that is good, the love that is good, it brings about servitude to the fear that established what good was that we never understood at the outset. And that moment, that seed moment, the reason I'm pausing here is because we have, from this very knowledge, from this information that we're talking about, something that is, and I'm the first to tell you, I understand. No, whether we see it or not, there is only a small part of us that wants that light to pierce our soul and show us where it is that we are compromised in ourselves, where our mind is divided and we don't even know we have a divided mind, let alone what it's doing to us in that. But at some point, a person has to recognize, you know, that there is a pretty vast and important difference that I must become serious about between what it is that I want, meaning that which I have always said is the good for me, and that which I truly need. Because haven't you seen this? We can always justify what we want into a need. We're masters. It's a master at that. But that dawning inside of a person where they begin to understand that their whole life has been taken up in this terrible twist between an imagined good that brings not good and the inherent wish that a person has for the good, because the person knows inherently that what is good is good. We set out for it. It's born in us. You may not know it, but it's born in you not to be a resentful person. It's born in you not to walk around regretting your past. It's born in you not to set yourself up over and superior to people. It's born in you not to be afraid. It's born in you. But the good that is born in a human being, that the human being is given as a certain nucleus in its soul, that good is surreptitiously stolen by a certain nature that becomes dominant in the individual and then begins to say, yes, that longing means that this is what you must do. This is what you must have. And it sets the person out for what? For the imagined idea. And because the image of good, success that will be freedom. And this is a kind of important idea. One never sets out the way the mind is presently oriented. One does not set out for freedom itself. One sets out for freedom through something. And there is no freedom through something. It doesn't exist, freedom through something. It doesn't exist but the mind is dependent upon the imagery that it produces. Because when it imagines being popular, being powerful, being spiritual, being Christ-like, when it imagines whatever it says is good, it is actually extracting from the image all of the sensation it needs to prove to itself that that object that it's imagined is the same as the thing of freedom that it believes it will bring to it. And one day, a person has to look and say, you know, and this is, oh, what a moment. I know that my life without freedom is a travesty. It is. I'm speaking to you. Your life is a sham. It's a sham. That means a fake. And the reason it's a fake is because it's founded on all of these images that one has of oneself that supports oneself, including hating oneself maybe. That self doesn't care what it defines itself by. All it wants is something that's definite, some opposite to know itself through. But when a person in their willingness to understand what we've been talking about begins to see some of what we're saying is being so, then that individual realizes the most difficult thing. And the difficult thing that person realizes is that they have the longing for the actual love of good in themselves, but what is good can't be known. What is good can't be objectified. What is good can't be possessed. What is good can't even be thought about. Because the minute one starts to think about what is good, what is true, what is authentic freedom, the minute one thinks about that, in that same moment, he or she is no longer involved in the actual action of that. They are instead caught up in the imagery of that and doing the same thing they've done their whole lives and following it to its inevitable futility. And what happens when a person realizes such a thing? That the good that I long for, the good that I have all of my life and at the heart of me set out for, that has been stolen every step of the way by one substitute after another. What am I to do with such an understanding? What am I to do with my life? And at that point, what becomes evident to a person is extraordinary, because then their individual realizes that while they can't see the good, and you can't see the good, you can't see it, you can see what obstructs it.
Hear Guy Finley in person. Guy lives and teaches in Merlin, Oregon, where he speaks four times each week at beautiful nonprofit Life of Learning Foundation. Visit us anytime and hear Guy's life-transforming principles in a friendly, serene, and inspiring environment. Visit GuyFinley.org or call 541-476-1200 to learn more about friendly ongoing classes. You are not alone in your quest for a new life. At Life of Learning, you'll meet others who are also seeking higher understanding, and you'll experience the power and inspiration of hearing Guy Finley in person. Plan to visit us and take the next step in your spiritual development. For information, call 541-476-1200, 541-476-1200, or visit GuyFinley.org. That's GuyFinley.org.
You can see how fear works. You can see what hatred does. You you can be conscious of what conflict is inside of yourself and how it breeds itself and brings others into it. You can watch the way worry and doubt steals into your soul and drains you of your vitality. You can see, which is pretty phenomenal, you can see the action of evil, of darkness, if you don't like the word. You can see that which compromises the soul. And that's where it becomes possible for us to do something. Because you see, what we're working to here is that we must learn what it means to express the good in spite of what's wrong. To express the good in spite of what's wrong. Now, what does that mean? I'm going to read the next part of this paper to you. Take a deep breath. Fear exists only as an imagined outcome that permeates and darkens the self in the present moment. Remove its negative projection and fear has no protection. Therefore, fear can only be discovered and dismissed through conscious action in the now, during which one is aware of not only the fear in its punishing effect, but of the negative image it uses to sustain its dark presence in the psychic system. This conscious action of observation, whose expression causes these unique conditions to be filled, can only be done for the sake of good. Call that what you will: freedom, compassion, mercy, or love. Now, what does that mean? That fear, that which has been the secret source, not of our satisfaction, but of temporary moments by which we find ourselves the slave of what we set out after, that fear can be dismissed only by the action of, only by the expression of, that which is good. Here's what it means. It means that a person must begin, if he or she wants to act out, to be an expression of that goodness that they are themselves have been called to, that person must realize that when I feel a fear, my action must not be to be that fear. My action must be to bring that fear that I fear into my awareness of it. And any action apart from bringing my fear that I fear into my awareness of it is an action that fear produces. Any other action. Oh, listen. See, there is a love that is satisfying to humans. We know that love. That's the love we have of power, possessions, position. We know the love that drives us to obtain, to acquire what we have. We know that love. We know the love of other human beings in our relationships and how they fulfill our sense of self. We know a love that is satisfying. We do not know a love that is sacrificing. And it is the love of sacrificing the self. It is the self-sacrificing of oneself in the face of fear that brings about the freedom from the fear. And only that. And only that. See, when you have a fear, it talks to you. Only you don't really hear it talking so much unless it's really an extreme instance. Because instead of hearing it talk to you, you actually feel the emotional justification for protecting yourself, for doing what you think you must do in order to keep your life in place as you think it is. But when one understands that when that fear comes, that the only thing that one can do is recognize, and this requires work, recognize, let's see, it seems like there is good in protecting myself. It seems good to me to protect myself. After all, I don't want to get up in front of the microphone at class and talk. It seems wise not to risk something like that, because I'm only protecting myself. I'm only seeing to it that, and then you can fill in the blanks, and I don't care what you're filling in with. I don't want to subject people to myself, because I don't know anything. Or I don't want to make people feel, you know, stupid with my incredible mind when I get up and talk in front of them. Or this is just isn't the day. This isn't the right time for me to do it. You can fill in the blank in a thousand ways, and no matter what you fill it in with, it isn't you filling in the blank, it's fear. Period. Period. And knowing that if I want the good, I must express the good, means that when I express the good, it will include my awareness of the fear. Not an action that fear gives me to escape the ache it's producing in me. What's happened to human beings? Do you know what's happened to human beings? Do you know why human beings are basically unable to smile other than with the most phony, baloney, pretend presence? Do you know why there's so genuinely little fun in people apart from being fulfilled by what they imagine would satisfy them? Because we as human beings have almost entirely lost the ability to be an expression of God's life. Call that what you will. To be the expression of kindness. Not the actor of it. There's a difference. To be the expression of compassion. To be the expression of gentleness. To be the expression of what is good requires the individual who would be that expression, this is what I'm saying, who would act on the part of what is good, not because he or she is going to derive a satisfaction from that action. That can't be the reason. And if one genuinely acts, it is never the reason. Because to genuinely act from that wish to express what is good will always include the opposing forces that have kept you from that expression your whole life. So that there will be a sacrifice in such a moment. Not because you invent it or create it or womp it up because now you're someone making a sacrifice, but because you know that before I get up to speak, I'm going to have to slay inside of myself the part that says you can't, you won't, you mustn't, you'll never. And you know that that which is talking to you is killing you, not helping you, not protecting you. You see it is not good. And then you have to act from what is good. You act from what is good. Everything that isn't a part of it, listen please, when you act from what is good, everything that isn't a part of it stands out like a giant on a desert plain with no place to hide. There it is. All of the images behind one's reluctance to do whatever it is they're reluctant to do. They're no longer the one that is producing the reason for safety. They're shown to be the fearful midgets, the dark little mites that they are that have lived in the mind, hiding behind what they say is right and good for the soul they've possessed. It's evident. And that's the goodness. That's the work. It doesn't matter how one does it. It absolutely makes no difference. Look, you can't fail trying to express what is good. Because the very act of wishing to express what is good in the face of the fear that would deny its expression reveals at that moment what is denying it. And then by an action that no one can understand, and I alluded to this with the fragrance and the petals, with the caterpillar and the butterfly, because there is a world that lives within you, above you, that you are not present to yet, that world above you acts on the world that has held you down. That fragrance, that light, that intelligence, it begins to operate on you so that what formerly was a fear becomes instead something that is by far and away so different to you, because now you understand, I'm just not going to live from that. I'm going to give it up every time I catch it. And giving it up doesn't mean mentalizing it. You know, it doesn't mean thinking to yourself, well, I'll get there, or I'm going to do it later, because the light hits the seed and the seed must choose. The soul must choose when the light reveals to the soul its own content. That's the moment. And it's always that moment. It's never not that moment, which is really extraordinary if you can understand that, because it means there's never not a sun, there's never not a flower, there's never not a fragrance, there's never not a seed, there's never not a moment in which all of that is taking place. Never. And then you wouldn't have to occupy yourselves with all of the things that fear has given you to do to make you feel as though you're important. You can be a part of the whole universe. You are a part of it. Only you're dreaming in it, not living in it. Real life has no fear. Only life imagined is filled with fear, because the self that imagines it must have the objects, the conditions to look at, to cry over, to possess in order for it to exist. Goodness exists. You don't. Goodness exists. You don't. You can have a life of goodness. Goodness can be your life. Then you have something eternal, something immortal, really. Or you can continue to not choose, to refuse to see, and rather than have a life that we know, that a part of us knows is true and good, we have a life that is half torment and the rest increasingly an empty promise. Express yourself. Express yourself. Have you ever wanted to tell somebody that you loved them? Have you ever wanted to say, you know, I appreciate you so much? You ever wanted to just thank somebody, but you don't do it because fear steals from you the expression of that life? Have you ever wanted to get up and speak what was in your mind, say what was in your heart? I tell you, unless you learn to express the good will have no part of you. Not because it isn't in you as a part of you, but because you've parted yourself from it. Make fear show you the liar that it is. Then goodness will be on your side, and then you'll see for the rest of your life nothing but good can come to you.
Hello, I'm Desi Arnaz Jr. You've been listening to Letting Go with best-selling author Guy Finley. To learn more about Guy Finley and his nonprofit Life of Learning Foundation, visit GuyFinley.com, where you'll find a host of free, life-changing information. Thanks for joining us today.
Love, the brightest and most powerful force in the universe. Love melts stress and cancels resentment. It gives birth to kindness and is the fuel of success. Love is at the heart of every great relationship and is the true essence of lasting peace. In his new book, Apprentice of the Heart, best-selling author Guy Finley explores lessons in life only love can teach. This breakthrough book contains the tools you need to strengthen and deepen all of your relationships with family, friends, coworkers, and with the present moment itself. Apprentice of the Heart, available now at GuyFinley.com and fine bookstores everywhere. Joseph Polanski of Diamond Fire magazine writes, "The reader is lifted up to a whole new realm, a rarefied region of the soul." To order your copy of Guy Finley's Apprentice of the Heart, visit guyfinley.com. That's guyfinley.com. The relationship your heart longs for already exists.